Okay. So last week's parsha, yeah. Parsha's Vayechi.
Which one? But is it though? Not the password. Which what's the through hole?
That's.
What's the what?
It's not high school.
That's what I thought. That was my issue also. Okay, but in last week's parsha, there's a lot of lot to talk about. In last week's parsha, but there's one nekuda that I think jumped at me when I went through last week's parsha. There's an amazing Zohar Kaddish.
I got it. I got it.
Jay, you know where we are.
Zohar Kaddish writes.
Okay, the third house when you look at the parking lot. Go three houses
Glenn.
Down.
Glendron.
Glenn, not a peninsula.
The third house. Yeah.
On Glenn.
Glenn, to make sure you say
I
on Glenn.
I did send an email, yes.
Down a point, it was on Glenn.
Okay. Yeah, now 1,000 people are going to know about all this. It's great.
What?
There's an amazing Zohar HaKadosh in last week's parasha. Zohar points out that at the end of Sefer Bereishis, we come to a close, everyone dies, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rochaleah, right? He says the Zohar HaKadosh, think about it, everyone got what they wanted, and everyone got what they asked for. He says, what did Leah want her whole life? To be close to Yaakov. She ended up being buried in Maaseh Machpelah. What did Rachel want her whole life? Kids. Where is she buried? On the side of the road. So all the kids pass by her and daven for her to come back to Eretz Yisrael. He says the Zohar HaKadosh, when everything finishes, each person got what they davened for. Which is so profound, because most of us go through the parasha thinking, Rachel didn't really get what she wanted, Leah didn't get what she wanted, everyone left miserable. He says the Zohar HaKadosh, everyone got what they wanted at the end. It took time. Rachel spent her whole life davening children, so she only had two children. And one she didn't even get to see because she died, you know, in delivery. But she got in the afterlife, so to say. When she was buried, she was zeichet to see all her children that come by her and daven by her. And we know Kever Rachel is a very popular hotspot. And she got what she wanted. And Leah only wanted to be close to Yaakov. She was always second fiddle to Yaakov. But by Misa, she was taka zeichet to get that. So I think the lesson of the Zohar HaKadosh is that never stop davening for what you want. You think you didn't get it yet, you didn't get it yet, keep going. Maybe you might get it, who knows when. Just keep going, keep diving, keep trying. Oh, fantastic. Oh, no, the zoning meeting, that's already going to be tricky. Let's see if, oh, no, that works naturally. Hopefully that should go naturally. It reminded me of a story that happened, Mamish, this week. It was on all the popular Jewish websites. There was a Magid Sher who was married for 34 years.
Yeah,
just had his first child. Yeah. Do you know who he is? No. He's Rabbi Oldham's brother-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah, Rabbi Elbaum from Queens. It's his brother-in-law. Now, at 34, I told the people in my show, you know what the galus of that story is?
First kid. It said first son.
I know. First wife. So we already worked out the math, how old she must be. We all worked out the numbers already. To me, the godless of the story is not the fact that Hashem gave him the baby. The fact that he kept him trying. Some people give up. Yeah, 20 years, 25 years, you throw him the towel. 34 years this Magid Sher was trying, and Baruch Hashem never ever give up. We never know where tefillahs end up and how strong they are. Now, we obviously want instant answers, like everything has to be instant gratification. You know, if the Wi-Fi takes too long, the kids get frustrated, the microwave's not quick enough. We're living in an instant gratification generation. But at the end of the day, it's such a moridic message and lesson that never give up, keep trying, and Kodesh Baruch Hu hopefully will answer the way he does. Okay. We left off. In last week's sugi, if you remember, we had a gemara. The gemara discussed if a person has two mitzvahs in front of him, the Wi-Fi is shvach. That's why the Wi-Fi is a little shtickle shvach. So we had a discussion in the gemara. If a person has two mitzvahs in front of him, the mitzvahs be oil regal and the mitzvah pidyon haben, which one goes first? We had machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. And the Gemara, the way it paskened, at least the way we saw in the Gemara, was we paskened like a Behuda. He's supposed to first be poi de b'nei v'achkach oi l'rego. Why? Because that's the way it says in the pasuk. Open up the Chumash. The Chumash says, first be poi de b'nei v'achkach oi l'rego. Just my father called me last night, he listens to the Shurim, so he pointed out to me that he did his homework that I didn't do. He told me, if you open up the pasuk in the Chumash, and you look on Rashi and the pasuk, Rashi over there says something very interesting. Rashi says, Pashup Shan the Pasuk, the beginning and the end of the Pasuk have nothing to do with each other. Rashi speaks out on the page. Don't make a mistake and think that only Bechayim have to be Oile Regal. Everyone has to be Oile Regal. Then Rashi says, and by the way, the Gemara does make similarities between these two things, and he completely leaves out our Gemara. It's very strange. Rashi completely does not acknowledge our Gemara whatsoever, and our Gemara is Alibi de Hilchasa, because we pointed out that we paskin in our Gemara that if you have Pidyon HaBen or Oile Regal, we paskin, you take to do Pidyon HaBen first because of the Pasuk. So it is a stickle strange that Rashi and Chumash points out that the pshat in the pasuk does not seem to be what it is, but he completely negates our Gemara. He doesn't acknowledge it whatsoever. It's a very good aura that my father pointed out to me last night. Taka good sarachin. I looked around a little bit in the commentaries on the Chumash.
Yes,
yeah,
so I
oh, yeah? Right, it's a different Drasha. Right, totally different Drasha. Yeah, yeah, Rashi, and no point is mitzayin to our Gemara, which is so important, because our Gemara made a major halacha from the pasuk, and very interesting to Rashi. I look around.
Rashi's looking towards the Gemara and the Zion.
Right, right.
Connection with
correct. Rashi's connecting it to Avodim, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He completely forgets our Gemara whatsoever. It's very strange. It's I looked around very very quickly in the Mekoresh Kedelos. No one seems to point out this aura. The Chayrit seems to be a very good aura. Okay, so we left off over here. Yeah,
Michael, I don't think it's going to work. If they want to call in, I'll put my phone on. Your phone on speaker.
I think this.
I didn't check my text. That was too
it seems like the Zoom is the Wi-Fi shvach. The Wi-Fi shvach. It seems like. Okay, so hopefully this recording will come out and it should be good. Okay, so we left off last time with a ha'ara from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Let's read it again, Rabbi Yaakov Emden number 13. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, number 13 on page 2. It's a little confusing. Page 2, not 2A. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes over here, page 2, not 2A. Page 2, not 2A.
Oh, the Sheilas Yaakov.
Sheilas Yaakov. He's talking to Rabbi Yaakov Emden like this. He says, Amit Shetamiyas Amashikasev Abba Moiri Hagoin. This svarah, he's referring to something that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, writes, Lahasig al Radvaz, who argues on the Radvaz. We mentioned this Radvaz, the famous Radvaz, what? Bidin Misha Nasanoi Hasar Rishus Lasis Bibes Asurim Yemechod Bishana. Let's say a guy's in jail. The government gives him one day to come out. So what's the day that he should pick to come out? What's the special day on the calendar that he should go join a minion? So most people think Yom Kippur. Now it's actually interesting. There's no maila of Yom Kippur be'etzem davening with a minion. I know it sounds weird, but there's nothing really in the Yom Kippur davening that you need a minion for. If I would have to pick, I'd say Pasha Zohar. Go let him leave Shabbos Zohar. Or maybe even Megillah. Because Megillah, you'll get the mitzvah, the Rabban of Megillah. Maybe according to some Paiskim, you could be Yitzhak Megillah with Amalek. But if he goes to Shul on Purim, he'll hear Vayavi Amalek and he'll be Yitzhak with that according to many Rishonim. But like people say, oh, he should go for Rosh Hashanah. For what? What's I'm saying? Shaifi could blow Shaifi himself if he knows how to. Again, I'm not here to devalue Yom Kippur Chas V'Shalom, but Be'etzem, I would think of a day where you really need a minion, right? So maybe even a day with this Kriyas HaTorah, maybe to fulfill that mitzvah. But the Shaila was to Radvaz, what should he do? Should he just take the first tefillah, come down the pike, or wait for something special? Ela'ezim mitzvah
should have your tzeit, would that be a chiyuv?
There might be Al's Kibbutz Aveh.
There may be up there.
Maybe it might be that might be a reason why that tefillah is better. Right. And the actual tefillah is not any better.
No,
maybe.
But he just needs the minion to say the kashrut.
Maybe there'd be a mile Al's Kibbutz Aveh. We pass in Kvoide Achar Moisei.
There's a minion in the prison somewhere.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And they have hot
so he rides.
Right.
It's like an ear miklat almost. So the shayla is, what should he do? So he writes. He says, the Radvaz's psak was, the Radvaz's opinion was, the first one that comes to Pike, you leave. So if the government says, the Sarah said, you can leave the first tefillah, the first minuch on a random Tuesday, he goes in the office with a minion. That's the opinion of the Radvaz. Why? Because they might be in all a mitzvah. The first chance you have to dab with a minion, you have a mitzvah, don't waste it, do it. Now the Chacham Tzvi disagrees, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to defend his father, the Chacham Tzvi. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, my father's right. Why is my father right? From our Gemara and Kedushin. Now, where does our Gemara and Kedushin have anything to do with the Radvaz? That's the godless of these Gedolim. So he says like this, we have a Gemara and Kedushin. The Gemara says in Kedushin, lift us b'nei v'las the regal, poitis b'nei regal. What did it say in the Gemara? Two mitzvahs. Pidyon HaBen or Aliyah Regel. So the Gemara said, first do Pidyon HaBen and then be Aliyah Regel. The time of what was the reason? Mishum Duch Siv, it says in the Pasuk. Kol b'cha b'necha tiftev, ha'od v'lai re'e p'nei reikam. Says the Yaakov Emden, ha'i lav de goli kra. Let's say there'd be no special Xerxes Kosov. Mashma da filu rabban have a moidle behuda da hasam disfile oile regal chila. Shazum mitzvah veris. We proved last week that everyone agrees that a mitzvah veris wins. No one disagrees. It's just that over here we have a special Xerxes Kosov that Pidyon HaBen goes first. So frektim dim lav hochi. My iri dechsev tifte bereisha. El vade rabban le polagil le behuda besvara the mitzvah veris kadema. Mushamach itzra ka. The time of the Kosov Rachmana Hacha, Frek, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I don't understand. I have a special Xerxes Kosov over here that tells me that Pidyon HaBen beats out of the regal. Avli loy, ksiv tifta bereisha. But if I didn't have the pasuk, lukuli amo ila regal kademis. Right? If not, I would say Ali ila regal go. Ali ila regal wins. Frek, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, 1 second. Vim isa, if the Radvaz is right, tifte, typically the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen the fun of tchila. Ukapaga bereisha. The Havada, Bahacha Mairi, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I don't understand. What's the storyline over here? What's the story? The story is the kid turns 30th day is when? Is when they're setting ready to set out on travel. The day of travel is day 30. So what mitzvah do I have right now? Pinyin Aben. So if the rule of the Radvaz is whatever mitzvah comes first has precedent, so how can Ali LeRegel win? You told me that everyone agrees, if not for the Gzeres HaKosov, Ali LeRegel will win because it's mitzvah veres. Ask Yaakov Emden, what do you mean mitzvah veres? But I have Pinyin Aben right now. Right now the kid's 30. Today's the 30th day. I'm booking my tickets. Yom Tov is in a week. I'm cheshbing. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? What do I do? What do I don't do? Oh, but right now I have a Pinyin Aben. So how could Pinyin Aben not win?
But there's really no comparison between mitzvah veres, our case, and the case of the guy in jail, because he's only going to get one opportunity.
Right.
So in our case, that Pinyin Aben will still be there.
Right, but the Radvaz holds whatever mitzvah comes, the first mitzvah you take.
Right, because you can only do one. You'll never be able to do the other one, even if it lasts for the next, till the next year.
Well, it could be in our sugya, you won't be able to do both either. That might be a machlokes rishonim, as we pointed out. Mm-hmm. Right? Not all rishonim agree you could do both. Some rishonim say you can only do one.
Isn't our case a hafshar mitzvah right now when he's getting ready to
leave? Oh, so that's what you're going to... Well, if you
he's
assume...
not doing the mitzvah.
Well, that's right, what we said
right,
is the
right, that might be the mitzvah. The travel itself, according to some Rishonim, is the mitzvah. Right? We pointed out only the Rashash was the one who focused on the karban as being the mitzvah. Everyone else assumed, like the Tosfos Riazakin, that the travel itself is the mitzvah. So right now, today's day 30. He's booking tickets. So Frechter Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what do you mean booking tickets day 30? 30, do Pinyin Aben. So what's going to be the obvious answer? The case is not that it's day 30 and he's booking tickets. The case is day 30 he's already in Eretz Yisrael. And now he's already got only can do one mitzvah. They both fall out on the same time. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, no, that's not the case. Then he throws in a line over that's relevant for us.
Does your kid have to be with you when you do Pinyin Aben or not?
That's a shayla.
Because I was just going to say, when he's being right a little red, what's all shayla? Yeah. What's all shayla? His kid's probably back wherever he's from.
No, the shayla's not that. The shayla wasn't the kid issue. The shayla was either the money or the physical issue. The kid wasn't the issue.
But I'm saying, but when you hand over the money, the kid doesn't have to be there then.
Maybe not. That's a shayla. But I'm saying, but that wasn't the deal in the Gemara. The shayla in the Gemara was a more practical or essential problem that either he doesn't have the money or he's not going to be there. So it says in Yaakov Emden like this, he adds, he says, V'afilu hochi, okay, so he writes it this, V'loi... So he throws in a line over here, why can't you do it through someone else? What does it mean do something else? What's your problem? You travel to Eretz Yisrael, have a great vacation, and send the money with someone else. So that's a big question. Can you do Pinyin Aben via Shliach? We know that already. He says, I don't want to get involved in the question. It's not a question by me. Says, it's not even a shayla by me. I, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's not a shayla by me. I think it's for sure you can make a shliach.
But wasn't also the issue whether he only had enough money to do one or the other? Now that
right, so that might, exactly, that's what we're going to get to in a second. Very good, that's Aruch HaShulchan's argument. Shlichos won't help over here if you're broke.
Yeah.
Very good. Aruch HaShulchan's going to point that in a second. Very good.
And if you're not broke, then
right.
Do it and then go.
Right, very good.
The whole thing
right, exactly.
Minutes.
We're going to come back to that. Very good. That's going to be the Aruch HaShulchan's point. We'll see that in a second. So right, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I don't want to get involved in that. So he says over here, and he says, your court, he says it right away. He says, V'loi b'hochi askinan. Elo hochi kama shi mitzvah shi efshalai skayim ay deachem zula sa'av shlichusay. Umayri b'deles lay d'mei pigeon. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because over here the question is not physicality, it's a question of money. So what does it mean? Make a shliach to what? To give him no money? It's not going to help. We'll see that Aruch HaShulchan speaks that out as well. He says, why is one mitzvah more important than the other? The hayasei, v'hayasei. The only perk is that it one passes. Good. So what's the answer? Here's the kicker. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the hocha b'mayaskinan ba'oisi yoyim sheyesha liftes b'no yitzterech leilich b'derech la'olus l'rego. It's all on the same day. It's not the pshat. The 30th day is when I start making my plans. The 30th day is the day I got to leave. So it's on day 25, I got to decide on 30, am I going to do Pinyin Aben or am I going to travel? The day 30 is the day I'm traveling. Not day 30 is the day I think about traveling. So I got to make my plans before. So both mitzvahs coincide at the exact same time. It's not the pshat that one mitzvah comes first and then the other. They're both going to fall on the same day. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's why the Gemara would not be a raya to or against the Radvaz. But stop for a second and ask yourself, what's the shaila of the Gemara? What's the shver? Take the family to Eretz Yisrael, send the shlech to the Pinyin Aben, and go home. Oh, it must be. I have a raya from our Gemara that you can't make a shliach with Pinyin Aben. Is that a fair raya? Can you make a raya? A new raya from our Gemara?
Yeah, we don't know. You're making an akim to the Gemara half the case.
So we don't know. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, Avo mi pashes de brisa. Ein lo hechiach din ze de mahani shlichus bepedir aben mashaach din kedima. Frank the Archa Zohar says the Archa Zohar, don't try to bring me a rai from our Gemara that you can't make a shlich bepedir aben. Why? Because what's the shayla of the Gemara? Which one to do first? Why can't you just do both? You be oil a regal and send the shlich to bepedir aben. What's the problem? Says the Archa Zohar, like David pointed out, he says de ein raya mizeh. The question our Gemara, according to some Rishonim, is not a question of funds, it's a question of physicality. I can't be in two places at once. That's right, it's a question of funds. It's a question of funds, not a question of physicality. So therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you learn like those Rishonim, who learned it was a question of funds, then you have no right from our Gemara. But if you learn like the other Rishonim, you remember we had a Machlokes Rishonim, because everything has to be a Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim learned it wasn't a question of money, it was a question of it can't be in two places at once, then you have a Shtak Akasha, so make a Shliach. So this whole Raya only hinges if you learn, like the Taisus Riyaz Zokin, like the Rambam, that it was a question of not enough money. But if it was a question of, I can't be in two places at once, then the Chayri, you have a very simple option, by making a Shliach. So then you could say that in this Gemara, you talk, I have a raya that you can't make a shliach.
All you know is that those Rishonim have to hold shliach.
Correct. Right. Those Rishonim that learned the Gemara the way that it wasn't a money issue, it was being in two places issue, they would have to learn our Gemara that you're not allowed to make a shliach to the Pidyon HaBen.
But the mitzvah there is a start when you're doing a hechsher, we involved in the mitzvah, but it's not the mitzvah. Even though that's the mitzvah.
Which case?
No, so okay, let's say a case of you're going to be traveling.
So they're learning the travel is the mitzvah itself, not just the hechsher mitzvah. That was the problem we had. I still have this problem. And the Rishonim, Taisi Riyazokin, talk. They put everything on the equal playing field. They put Pidyon HaBen on the same playing field as traveling. So our kasha was, what do you mean? Traveling is only hechsher mitzvah. So we suggested maybe certain hechsher mitzvahs takli have a higher status because efsher without them.
Right. The higher status can never be a mitzvah, though.
I guess say aliyah, right? I mean, that's part
even
of
though
the aliyah.
You don't have to spend the money to be aliyah. If you get your trip sponsored, I'm sure you would also be yaitz in
a
mitzvah.
But in general, if you couldn't get in, then you went home, you were yaitz in a mitzvah?
Of course not.
So how could that be a mitzvah?
The mitzvah, it's all part of the mitzvah. Mitzvah is get yourself to Eretz Yisrael and bring a carpet.
But they're saying that's the mitzvah.
No, I don't think they mean that.
It means the whole experience, getting there and doing what you got to do once you're there, obviously, right.
The question is, but if a guy can get there without, if he gets his trip sponsored, everyone agrees he'd still be yotze to the mitzvah. So it's hard to understand.
But outside this case, if you're faced with building the sukkah.
Assuming it's not a mitzvah, it's only actions.
Right, that's assumed.
Another mitzvah comes. Right.
So is it that now it's a boost the kind of change or is
no?
It,
so oh, now you would apply the rules. Now you'd apply the rules of mitzvah veris versus non mitzvah veris. You'd have to go with whatever's more present. Guy's in the middle of building sukkah and they need him, to do base mitzvah or whatever. He'd have to stop.
He would have to stop.
Even though again, it's only a hechsher mitzvah pashtus. If you hold like those again, there's too many rais in my humble opinion in achronim Ramah himself that binyan sukkah is only a hechsher mitzvah. I don't even know how you can even say it. It's klar from the Ramah. In two places, one Hilchos Yom Kippur and one Hilchos Sukkah, that building a sukkah is a mitzvah, not a hechsher mitzvah. But okay, it's a sukkah discussion.
So you can't have a guy do it?
No, because besides for Rabbeinu Tam, you could have a guy do it.
How could you have somebody be your shaliach for a mitzvah that isn't chayav on the mitzvah?
So that's a question. That's Rabbeinu Tam Sheet. Rabbeinu Tam says like you. I can't have a guy do anything that he can't do.
But maybe the mitzvah is how the sukkah built.
That's all part of the discussion. Right, it's all part of the raid.
Could you do mishliach for aliyah l'regel or to mitzvah shibufa?
We learned that already. Right? We said that Aruch HaShulchan proved that the reason why you can't make a shliach for pidyon haben is because we compare pidyon haben to aliyah l'regel, and aliyah l'regel you can't make a shliach. That's a mitzvah shibufa. It's a mitzvah with your body.
So it's definitely a mitzvah.
For sure. Yeah. Aliyah l'regel definitely cannot make a shliach.
So if you live in Yerushalayim, how are you making the mitzvah Ola Rego?
You go to the Beis HaMikdash.
So the mitzvah is really to go to the
Yeah. That's really the mitzvah.
But it's to be seen. That's what the Lo Yareu Fanei Rekam.
There's a lav there that we really didn't talk. Rabbi Eliashiv talks more about this. There is a lav over here. We're forgetting this. It's not just an asay. There's a lav. The Lo Yareu Fanei Rekam. You cannot not show up. So that's there's an asay. And there's a lav. So Rabbi Eliashiv already points out that we're already not on equal playing field. Because no lav in Pidyon HaBen. So I couldn't get a good understand what he meant in his terrace, but at least I saw the kasha that he was bothered with this nekuda. That we're not on equal playing field.
It's a very strong kasha,
right? It's very strong. That there's a lav element involved in the regel more than just the asay. So he dons on that Rabbi Yashar. I think if I understood him correctly, he says that in our Gemara we're trying to keep asays up against asays without dealing with lav in the equation, but it definitely changes. Nice, but it definitely changes the equation.
Sure.
Right, a lav definitely changes the equation.
It's a fact.
Right, meaning if a guy's not under the regal, he won't only be mevatel on a say, he'll also be over a lav. If a guy's not paid to his son, he's not over any lav.
Lav's not if you show up, you can't come empty-handed, or you have with
So I think that's what they talk about also. If the guy doesn't show up at all, and he wasn't Yeru, then he wasn't Panay Rekim. So again, that's...
The lav is after.
Right, the lav is only once he shows up empty-handed.
Sure.
Right, okay.
It's the lav, that is the lav.
Right. So it's a discussion, how to learn it. Okay, so let's just... The last thing I want to get into is this. There's an amazing Maram Shik over here. He's a lot of Hezbar, in my opinion. The Maram Shik comes up with a very posh the chap over here. The Maram Shik is bothered with the same kasha. Why can't I make a shliach for Pinyin Aben? So Maram Shik says, you know why you can't make a shliach for Pinyin Aben? Because you don't have the mitzvah yet. The Maram Shik learns the case is that today is day 27, and I'm making plans. I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. What are we doing? What's our plans? Oh, the regular this, that, the other. So on day 27, says the Maram Shik, you can't make a shliach on day 27. Why? Because you don't have a mitzvah on day 27. Your mitzvah doesn't start until day 30. And therefore, since you don't have a mitzvah yet, you can't make a shliach.
So day 30, because that's when
the mitzvah starts. That's when the mitzvah starts. Day 30.
When you leave or when you have to be there?
No. Day 30, you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael.
You're going to be in Eretz Yisrael.
So you want to make a shlech before you leave. Says the Maram Shik, you can't make a shlech before you leave because you're not mitzvah yet. It's day 27. Says the Maram Shik, if you're not mitzvah in a mitzvah, how can you make a shlech?
No, but you said you have to get there. That's part of the mitzvah.
No. Talk about for Pidyon HaBen. Is this such a musig that I can? Let's say, for example, let's say I send my friend to be Mekadesh and Isha. Right now she's married. She's getting divorced at 2:00. My friend is going to be one of the AD on the get. I told my friend, listen, the moment the get goes through, give her a ring and say,
"Ariyam Mekadesh." So now your mitzvah is to be married.
No. The problem is I can't make him do something that I can't marry her now. Okay, what's the rule of shlichus? You can't only set someone to do something that you yourself can do. If you can't do it, he can't do it. So can I marry this woman now? No, she's a married woman. In 3 hours, she'll get a get, and then I'll be able. So the Maram Shik is saying that if I would... According to the Maram Shik, let's say a guy's going on a business trip.
You have to wait 3 months?
Well, forget, besides the din of Havchana, right. According to the Maram Shik, let's say a guy's going on a business trip, and he wants to hire a moyel before he leaves on the 8th day. So on the 3rd day, he tells the moyel, listen, I'm going to make you the shliach, and you'll do the bris on the 8th day. Today's the 3rd day. You tell me now he can't make a shliach on the 3rd day because he has no mitzvah until the 8th day?
He did that for yesterday. Yeah. His husband goes away.
Right.
And he says, in case she makes a neder, it's made for yourself.
So over there, the husband has the right to be made for the dorm the entire time. Right. He has the right.
No,
it just happens not to be a neder.
Neder yet.
Good, but the husband has the... Over here, there's nothing here. There's nothing here till day 30. Okay, Bismillah is a bad example because Bismillah we can talk about is a shliach before 8 days. But let's say before 30. So Ram Shik's saying that since the father can't do the mitzvah before 30 days, he can't make a shliach either.
That's how you look at shlichus, right?
Very much so. Yeah. It's a gavaldik chiddush. Yeah. It's an amazing chiddush. This means if I cannot appoint you to do something that I myself don't have a mitzvah yet. It's an amazing chiddush from the Ram Shik. Okay. Right, but he's there, you never get a mile. Unless you assume that you don't need a real mile with shlichus anyways, like we saw already from some Rishonim. Okay, so let's pick up.
People, the mile make you appoint them right then. Good. Then you now appoint the
shlich. Right.
You're appointing the shlich.
Right, you book him. Right, you book him. Then b'shas mila. Okay, so let's start over here. Shir Yud Gimel. Let's start new sugya. Number one. Tana Rabbana. New Gemara. We'll talk a little bit more about Pidyon HaBen. How do you know if a guy has 5 wives and he has 5 Bechayrim that he has to be paid to all them? Number one. On page 2.
Left side.
I'm not going to read the Ram Shik inside. It's a shtickle late. I want to get moving. Says the Gemara, how do you know if a person has 5 sons from 5 wives that he has to be paid to all his sons? This guy's luck. All of his wives, they all have firstborn boys. No C-section, no nothing. Everyone is a 5 pinyin aben. So the Gemara says, how do you know that you have to be paid to all 5 sons? Tamaloyma, it says in the Chumash, kol b'char b'necha difte. Every b'char of your son you have to redeem. So if you have 5 wives, you have 5 sons, you have 5 b'charim, you have to redeem all of them.
What was the
Havamina? Gemara pshita. What type of Havamina is that? The Torah made it very clear. It has to do with the firstborn from the woman. So if you have 5 women... So the wife determines the wife. Who cares about the man? So the
Gemara says, "What is a woman?" That's the
shot. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u the same or no?" I would have thought, "Neiliv bechor bechor minachal." I would have thought that maybe when it comes to Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, we have to factor in Hilchos Bechor. Ma'al halon reishis oinoi. Just like when it comes to bechor, there's only one bechor, the first of his oinoi. Right, last week's parsha. Reuven was righteous, all you need. It was the first of his zera. So there's only one bechor. Guy could have 100 wives. There's only one bechor. So af kan righteous, all you know. So maybe when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it also should work with the first zera. Kamash Malon, it doesn't. Now, what's the obvious problem with the Gemara? Obvious cash in the Gemara. But again, it still says in the Chumash, Peterechem. Well, what's the Havamina? What does the Gemara say? I know I have a puzzle called Peterechem, but I would think maybe I should compare it to Bukhar. Why would you do that? You have a pasuk by Peterechem. The Torah told you very clearly the rules. Why would I start jumping around now to Yerusha? Why would I do
Peterechem on the one that matters?
Says the Ritva, Mamish that Teretz. Says the Ritva, Avogav number two. Avogav the Peterechem to Alirachmano. Asks the Ritva, I don't get it. The Torah says very clearly that Pidya Ben works with Peterechem. So why would I think it should do with Bukhar? Says the Ritva, Havamino, Debin and Trevayu. Maybe you need to have both. Two things need to be met to have a Pidya Ben. It has to be her Peterechem, and it has to be his Reisha Zayna. You have to have both.
And really the other way around, to think of it, the key is the drasha of the pasuk.
Right, and then this, right. So Kamash Malon, that's what the Chiddush of our Gemara is. No, all you need is Peterechem. You don't need anything about Reisha Zayna.
If you have such a Havamino, how do you know that? Maybe Taka. If there's reason to think
that... Good. We'll get to that in a second. So take a look over...
Rabbi, I didn't get the Pasha Gemara. What's Pshat? Why would you think you learned it out from Bechor Benecha, from Nachla, of Rishis Ono? Why? I know, I missed it.
Because that's another concept found on Bechor. Bechor, that's the din of Bechor.
Yeah, but not Legabi Pidgin Abed.
Good, that's the Ritva's Kasha. And then the Shaila is, the Gemara is looking for other places in the Torah where we find Dine Bechor, and there we happen to be that it's only one. So maybe it's saying it should be for Pidgin Aben. I, the Kasha, frankly, but it says in the Chumash Peterechem. So maybe you think you have to have both. You have to have both. And the definition of a Bukhar is Rashis Oinoi and a Peterechem. Okay. So if you look at the Marit, he says it a little differently. And this is very important. The Marit has the same Kasha as the Ritva. Number three, Vim Taimar, of a Hokroxiv called Peterechemli. Why on earth would I think that I have to follow the rules of Bechor if the Chumash laid out the rules for me when it says Peterechem? So the Ritva told us you have to have both rules. Okay. Sent to Marit a different answer. This is Kishmak. Says the Marit, there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of the father to be paid to his son, and there's a mitzvah for the son to be paid to himself. So I would think like this. If it says in the Chumash, kol b'chor b'necha tifteh, whose obligation is that? That's a parental obligation. So the father's mitzvah is kol b'chor b'necha. Aval oviv saka daitech doli mechayv l'mifrik el ereshis oino dumya denachla. The Marit wants a split. I really want to say that maybe then the Torah says that there's a din of Pidyon HaBen. Peterechem means any big kid that comes out of Peterechem, he has to be nifter. The father's obligation is Peterechem plus Reishis Oinah. So therefore says the Marit, the Havamina of the Gemara was like that.
The next four have their own
mitzvah. Yeah, they have their own mitzvah to be paid to themselves. Now, why is this important to us?
The first one also has his own mitzvah to be paid to himself.
Yes, if his father doesn't do it. The other four have a mitzvah from the get-go to do it themselves.
And what about Bechor?
What do you mean?
The four that are not.
Right, so the other four just have the regular pasuk. The father
couldn't even do it.
The father has no mitzvah. Now, why is this so important for us? Because this should take us back to our old conversation of how Pidyon HaBen works at all. Is Pidyon HaBen the father's mitzvah to the kid, or the Pidyon HaBen is the kid's mitzvah to himself? The Marit wants to suggest a middle ground that you can have a situation where the father has no mitzvah, but the kid has his own mitzvah. We actually had this, if everyone remembers, in the Tosfos by us. Tosfos Gedushin Daf Chav Tes, I thought you have Amina, that a girl would have to be paid to herself, but a father would not have to be paid to her. Everyone remember that Tosfos? Yeah. We had that Tosfos? Yeah, that, we had that Tosfos.
This is Gemara with the Kamash one is a
riot. Oh, good. Good. So we got to figure out what the Kamash one is. But let's work out the Havamin over here.
And the successive four sons, if the father wanted to be posed,
No, he's no mitzvah. It's not his thing.
It's may not be a mitzvah, but he can do it voluntarily.
Maybe he can be a shliach if you hold you can make a shliach.
How can the baby?
He has no place in this mitzvah. Right.
But don't you the drush?
Doesn't the drush? I may not want to, but I could.
Oh, that's the question. So the Marit is trying to figure out what the Havamina of the Gemara was. He's learning the Havamina of the Gemara was that there's two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah that the father has. The father has to point only his Bechor with Peterechem. And any Peterechem has to be pointed to themselves. A new mitzvah.
So he doesn't hold that his child, and until the child becomes a godson.
Oh, so you see from this Marit that there was such a Havamina in the world that a child can carry his own independent mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, irrelevant to the father. We said from the Rivash that the Rivash holds the whole Pidyon HaBen is the son's mitzvah that the father does for the
family. Oh, we knew that.
Right.
The child, even in a normal case, one wife, one Peterechem, one husband.
Yeah.
The son always had that mitzvah if the father didn't.
I'm talking about from the get-go. Here we're suggesting, like the Rivash wants to say, that from the get-go it would be the child's obligation without the father having to be responsible for it.
That doesn't make sense with the Lashon HaKadosh.
Also, it says kol b'chor banecha. That's a kasha, right? Kol b'chor banecha sounds like we're talking to the father.
Right.
So the Maharit is saying no. Then it says in the chumash kol b'chor banecha.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's true. I think the Maharit's pshat is a little hard. It's nice and svara, a little hard to plug in into the basak, because the Torah of kol b'chor is talking to the father. It's not talking to the son. But okay, but let's just work this out alumnus for a second. The Maharit wants to suggest that if you guy has five kids, so the first son is the father's mitzvah, because he's Bechor Oinoi, and he has Tifta, so that's the first one. The other four, they have to be paid to themselves. Good. Now, what's the Kamash Malon? This is always the fun part. Kamash Malon, this is not true. What's not true? What's the Kamash Malon?
That they have their own mitzvah, or that the father has to do it.
So now we can play around a little bit. You can learn Kamash Malon, there's no such mitzias that a kid should have the chiyuv to be paid to himself. That doesn't exist. Why? Because the entire Pidya Ben is never the kid's mitzvah, it's always the father's mitzvah. I mean, the Maharit is creating a new world. What's the world? That a kid has a mitzvah to be paid himself and the father doesn't have that mitzvah. Doesn't exist.
How does the Maharit say Kamashmalon?
He doesn't say anything. Ends off the piece.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. That's why we get to keep busy over here.
He's only telling the Havamina.
Yeah, good, I know.
He has to acknowledge.
Right, so what is it? I want to know in Lumda's purposes, what is the Kamashmalon? Where does that leave? So Kamashmalon what? So you could take Kamashmalon, this whole notion doesn't make any sense because it doesn't fit into the puzzle. Or Kamashmalon is that in Lumda's it doesn't make any sense because you can't have such a scenario where the kid would have his own mitzvah without the father being involved because the whole mitzvah is connected. That's right.
But would it still be, according to that understanding, the son as a secondary, if the father refuses to do it,
that we have always on the books that the father.
So you say so there is an idea of the son being poetic
only himself. Once he becomes a god.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. But here he's suggesting from the get go this thirty day old baby would have a mitzvah to be poetic himself.
No, he would have the mitzvah only that's not yet right. It still can't be a mitzvah on him until he's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is at 13. It's incumbent on him to do it when he becomes 13.
Right, but it wouldn't. Else in the world but it wouldn't be. But it wouldn't. Right, but it wouldn't be a chiv on the father.
Right,
that's what I'm putting out. So could be the Kamash. Correct. Could be the Kamash Malon over here is that there's no such thing. The way Pidyon HaBen is structured, there was never a mitzvah given on the child. It was only on the father or when the kid gets 13. And you don't have such a mitzvah that the kid can start the mitzvah when he's a baby. Well, you can play with it a little bit.
Yeah, but how about if you compare it to Bris Milah? How would that fit in? Meaning whether the mitzvah is on the father.
So that we spoke about. We worked it out. In some Rishayim, it does not seem to be consistent. Some Rishayim differentiate between Milah versus Pidyon HaBen. You got to work it out. Not all Rishayim are on the same page when Pidyon HaBen and Milah. Yeah, it doesn't work out. We have to work it out.
On the flip side, in terms of Rishis Ono, right, you're making this whole connection, but on Rishis Ono, is there anything to say that that's also connected, that only you only get the Pishnayim, whatever, if you have Petarechem? So how do you make...
It's a very strange happening. The Gemara took a concept of Petarechem and looked for other places in Shas to compare it to. Shas, why are you looking everywhere? Let's keep what you have, right?
No, it's okay. Then do it on the other side.
Yeah, right. You should compare...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a very strange Havamina.
Concerning the Pasha, so Yaakov made four Pidyon HaBens, but he called Reuven, Reisani.
I don't know if he made four.
Reisani,
right? According to the Maskaras HaGemara, he would have had to make four Pidyon HaBens, right? Now, if you take a look at the Sefer HaMakne, he goes a step further. The Sefer HaMakne goes a step, Sefer HaMikne really should be pronounced. He goes a step further. He writes, Yeshul Dachtik. Stamaze says, I don't understand. The Havale the Meimar, the Sakadaita, Kivan the Chsiv, Parshas, Bemidbar, Beyoim HaKoisi, Kol Bechor, Hikdashti as Kol Bechor. If you want to know why it should be Bechor Minachla, forget learning out from Yerusha. I got a better place, says the Sefer HaMikne. Why? He says, if you look in the Chumash, it says over there, B'yoyim HaKos Yikol Bechor. B'kivim the Mitzrayim Hoy Bechor La'av. He says, in Mitzrayim, all the Bechorim are Bechor Me'av. K'dom Ma'ani Hashem Lekechem Shevchanti Be'in Tipa Shal Bechor. I'm not sure where that shows us that, but the Mekne is assuming that in Mitzrayim, all those Bechorim, the Hamakas Bechorim that were saved, they were all Bechor Me'av. They were not Bechor Me'ims. So therefore, he says, "Vahud the kiddush b'chayir shehuk tushu tachas b'chor Mitzrayim." So that's the reason why b'chor. That's the reason why Pidyon HaBen should work that way. Yeah, Pidyon HaBen is connected to what happened in Mitzrayim. So he's saying we definitely have that as one of the reasons. We have it in the Chumash. I'm saying it sounds like from the Pesukim that the reason why we're poydah our banim is because they would have died in Mitzrayim and they belong to Hashem. Now we had the kasha from the Vilna Goyin. So why don't girls? Yeah. We spoke about it. Right. So what about girls? So the Vilna Goyin, we talked a little bit about it. So Frecht Sefer HaMikne, if that's true,
the firstborn girls were also killed.
Yeah, There's a medrash, the Darkei Moshe brings a medrash that Basi Bas Pari was a Bechayra. She would have died, but she was saved because that she saved Moshe Rabbeinu. So that opens up a very strong question. If that's true, so then why don't girls fast? So if you look in the Mechaber over there in Hilchas Erev Pesach, he brings down the Yesh Mishayim that the girls fast. That's why the Shur girls. And they eat from Masim. That's what Rabbi Vadya writes. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramos says, no, we don't do it. So the question is, why don't we do it? It seems to be very logical. So the Vilna Gaon makes a comment because there's no Kedushas Bechor given to a girl. So of course, what's Kedushas Bechor have to do with anything? It's not about Kedushas Bechor. It's about the mitzvah. So we said over Teretz, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, Rosh Hashanah Zalman answered, because the reason why we fast on Erev Pesach is not because of Pinyan HaBen and all the story. Because the one day of the year the Bechorim felt the biggest loss of the Avodah was on Erev Pesach. Bechorim were supposed to be the ones who worked in the Beis HaMikdash. They lost it and went over to the Kohuna. And since they lost it, the one day a year where there's the most traffic in the Beis HaMikdash was Erev Pesach. Wow. That was the one that they felt the most depressed. Says the Vilna Gaon, girls would have never worked in the Beis HaMikdash anyways. Mm-hmm. So they don't feel it. So that was the shtickle tire. But there's definitely, in the Gemara, it sounds like that there is a correlation. So it says the Sefer HaMikneh, so 1 second. If Pidyon HaBen is because of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim, they were all Bechor Me'av. So if they're all Bechor Me'av, it should be the same thing in our Gemara. So why do you have to start telling me fancy stuff to learn from Yerusha? Why don't you just copy the storyline? And the storyline was Bechor Me'av. So he says a teretz. He says the efsher kibud armina bebchayris b'shalosh mekayim is kitchu bechayris liyisrael b'mitzrayim ubemidbar b'chinas sasan laeretz the kibud armina ba'alma d'shah midayris layafinan lahachi amar the havi min the dilev bechor bechor minachla the havi dayri dayris. He says no. The ma'isa, the idea of kedushas bechor me'av was only at that time. It was a storyline, but the din of Yerusha is forever and ever. That's in the Chumash. So we'd rather prove in the Gemara from a place that for eternity than just for something that happened one time in history. Okay, as I like to say for Amakne, and that's why we'd rather learn from Yerusha, which is forever and ever, than one place in the Torah where we gave Kedusha to Bechor Me'av. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Okay, that's the done with Pidyon HaBen. Now we're moving on. Number 5. Says the Gemara, in the list of things you have to teach your children, you have to do to your, what do we have so far? So we did Bris Milah, we covered that, I think, pretty well. Pinyin HaBen, I think we mutzered with. Now we're up to the next topic, Talmud Torah. This is a big one. Now the truth is, a lot of this, I don't know if we're going to go through a lot of it, because we covered this a while ago, it was during COVID still, it wasn't in person, where we discussed heavily the question of women learning Gemara. Yeah. So that comes from this Gemara. So I don't think we're going to chazer that again. You can listen on your own if you want to go through it again. But we'll talk about other things.
Didn't you also talk about with grandchildren and paying the tuition because based on this?
Yeah. That's a Gemara. Lamed Amrav. We'll get this soon, hopefully. Okay. So let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara Minolan. How do you know a father has to teach his son Torah? How do you know a father has to teach his son Torah? It says in the pasuk, "V'limadatem oisam es b'neichem." It says in the Chumash. We say it every single day in Shema. "V'limadatem oisam es b'neichem." You should teach them, your children. So we learn from over here that every father has a mitzvah to teach his son Torah. And what happens if the father doesn't teach him? The father's missing in action. He has to teach himself. It says in the pasuk, "V'limadetem." Now if you just turn for a second to the next page, on number 7, is where this pasuk appears. What's this pasuk? This pasuk is in Devarim Hey. It says, "Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael." This is a very important pasuk. It says Moshe calls the Jewish people and he tells them, "Shema Yisrael es hachukim ve'es mishpatim." Listen to the chukim mishpatim. I'm going to speak into your ears. Uli madatem oisam, and you should learn them. Ushmartem la'aseisam, and guard to keep them. So that's everyone. That's everyone. Every man for himself. Now, what you notice interesting about this pasuk is what we'd call the main theme in this pasuk. It doesn't say, "And you shall learn Torah because Torah is so important and Torah shall be learned all day long." What is it all about? Ushmartem la'aseisam. This pasuk seems to be telling us that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is directly connected to how to be a good Jew. Right? If you don't learn Hilchas Shabbos, you're not going to know Hilchas Shabbos. Now, if you sit and learn a whole day Hilchas Zika, and you learn all the Reb Chaims and all the Biskarovs and Kachim, is that going to help you ushmartem la'aseisam? Absolutely not. So this pasuk... Even then, it's not Ali with the Hilchasa. So this pasuk is very important. This pasuk sounds like that the mitzvah Talmud Torah that the son has for himself would be directly connected to Ushmartem La'asoysim. We'll see why that's important in a few minutes.
By the way, based on that pasuk later on, so then maybe the mother should be mechuyev also because Ushmartem La'asoysim.
Oh, so we're going to have to talk about
it. Because the mother, normally you would have the chiyuv Talmud Torah, but if it's Ushmartem
La'asoysim. We got a bigger kasha. Why doesn't a father have the chiyuv to teach his daughter Torah under the banner of Ushmartem La'asoysim? So we talked about it. If everyone remembers, when we talked about girls learning Gemara, we discussed this possibility. We'll come back to it hopefully again.
The pasuk says, "Es b'neichem."
Let's finish the Gemara, and we'll see why this cash is true. We got to deal with this. Let's go back to our Gemara for a second, number five. So what do we have so far? That when the father doesn't teach his son Torah, the son has a chiyuv to teach himself Torah. Now, if you were writing the Gemara, and you had to write in the fill in the pasuk, right? You take a test. Fill in the pasuk that if the father doesn't teach the son Torah, the son has to learn Torah. What pasuk would you fill in?
The other one.
I'd fill in the pasuk that everyone throws around. Vikisa, but yom v'layla, right? What's the pasuk that we teach everyone that they have to learn Torah? And I'm not making it as a joke. The Rama Pasuk is like that. If the father doesn't teach the son Torah, then there's his own chiyuv to learn Torah. Just like you have a chiyuv to learn Torah and I have a chiyuv to learn Torah. Why do you have to give me some fancy pasuk of ulamata moisim? Shouldn't it be the pasuk of vigisa b'yom v'alayla?
It's a nach.
Oh, it's very good. It's a nach. So you're going to tell me that according to
why wouldn't you want this pasuk you just quoted, number 7? Why wouldn't that be a better pasuk?
No, it is the pasuk that Gemara quotes. But if you polled 100 people, meaning it comes out that this pasuk is the source of why we have to learn Torah. Problem is, if you look in the Rambam says the source why we have to learn Torah is from vigisa b'yom v'alayla, which is not in the Chumash, which was actually in the Navi. So we'll have to see.
Maybe that's why we have to learn 24/7.
Oh, good. So we'll have to start being mechalek between the mitzvah of how often to learn and what to learn. So we'll keep that all in mind.
Instead of teaching to learn enough.
Yeah, that's also true. Says the Gemara, second line in number 5. When the father doesn't teach him Torah, he has to teach himself. This pasuk in source number 7. Now we'll get to this blinad in a few minutes. What age does that start? What age? Doesn't say.
What age is what start? When the father has to teach himself.
No. When the father he has to teach himself. Father's not here. Never. The father dies.
Means you have to be a bar
mitzvah. No, good. So we'll see it. Like everything in life, it's going to be a machlokes rishonim. But you can see where the machlokes rishonim can stem from, right? We're going to see what age does a kid have to step up to the plate and start teaching himself. So you're going to tell me first at 13. First at 8, 9. What age? Now, when does the father have to start teaching his son Torah? That's a mishnah in sukkah. When he's able to talk. As soon as the kid can talk and understand, right. You gotta start teaching him. That's it, early, young. Right, you start early. Fact, Gemara. How do you know mom doesn't have a chiyuv to teach the son Torah? Because again, what does it say in the Chumash? Ulimatem oisem es b'neichem. Teach your sons, right? All women will agree they also have sons. Right, their sons are also their sons. So why do you see from this pasuk anything about a father more than a mother? So
the Gemara, if they never had obligation to teach the daughter,
very good. We're going to get to that. But we didn't get to that yet. That the Gemara is going to. That's the next step in the Gemara. Very good. So the Gemara says, no, it's pashut. How do you know mom doesn't have a mitzvah to teach? Dechsev v'limadetem ulimadetem. It says two psukim. One pasuk we had number 7 was ulimadetam, which means you shall learn. Then the other pasuk is really malatem and you should teach. We have two pasukim on the books. One pasuk talks about teaching and one pasuk talks about learning. Says the Gemara, kol she mitzvah lil moed. Anyone who has a mitzvah to learn, mitzvah lil lameid has a mitzvah to teach. V'chol she ein a mitzvah lil moed. And anyone who doesn't have a mitzvah to teach, to learn, ein a mitzvah lil lameid. So what's the obvious follow-up question? Ihi minolon delay mechayve, lemeilef nafsha. How do you know she doesn't have to learn? What's the whole premise? Girls don't have to teach their sons because girls don't have to learn themselves. Well, who told you that? That's an assumption. How do you know girls don't have to learn themselves? So the Gemara says, no, we go the other way. Vili madatem ulamadatem. We compare teaching to learning. Kol sha'achei mitzvah l'lamdoi. Anyone that has to teach others, then mitzvah l'lamed es atzma. If others have to teach me, then I have to learn myself. V'chol she'ein achei mitzvah l'lamdoi. If others don't have to teach me, ein mitzvah l'lamed es atzma. I don't have to learn myself. Which makes sense, right? If no one has to teach me, it means no one cares if I learn. So if no one cares if I learn, why do I have to learn?
But we didn't say that yet.
So we don't know yet. Okay. So says the Gemara, u'minayin she'ein achei mitzvah l'lamdoi. How do you know others don't have to teach her? It says in the pasuk, v'lamata moisim es b'neichem, v'loi b'noisechem. So what are we left off with? It's a chagatya over here, right? We have two psukim in the Torah. One says teach, one says learn. So the Gemara says, let's balance one off the other. Whoever has to teach has to learn. Whoever has to learn has to teach. So where are we left with girls? We start off with, you don't have a mitzvah to teach your daughter Torah. Good. So you don't have to teach her. She doesn't have to learn herself. If she doesn't have to learn herself, she doesn't have to teach others. That's the end of the Gemara. That's how we know there's no mitzvah to teach your daughter. There's no mitzvah for her to learn. Therefore, there's no mitzvah for her to teach her son. And there's no mitzvah for you to teach her from the pasuk of b'neichem v'loi b'neisech. So again, this Gemara, as we pointed out when we did this sugya about women learning Gemara, doesn't say girls can't learn. It just says you're not mitzvah to teach. There's no obligation. We didn't get involved with can't she. But this Gemara is important for another reason. I don't want to get into it now. I'm just throwing it out. There's a question whether or not you can use Maisa money for your daughter's tuition. Why? You can't use Maisa money for your son's tuition, because that's obligatory. You're Mechoyiv. The Gemara says you're Mechoyiv to teach your son Torah. So once you have a Chiyiv, you can't use Maisa money. But if I'm not Mechoyiv to teach my daughter Torah, because it says, B'neichem v'loi b'neiseichem, so why can't I use Maisa money for my daughter's tuition? So Reb Moshe has a tshuva, where he says you can't. Reb Moshe says,
For your daughter.
Why, says Reb Moshe? Because you have a mitzvah to make sure she stays from. You have a mitzvah to make sure she gets married to a nice from boy. And if you don't send her to yeshiva, that's not going to happen. So Reb Moshe writes in the truth.
You can.
So you can't. Because you have a mitzvah. Anytime you have a mitzvah to do something, you can't use maisa. Anything that's obligatory, like I can't buy my esrig with maisa money. I can buy your esrig
with maisa. But you can buy svarim with maisa money.
There's an Aruch HaShulchan like that. Today a lot of paiskim are skeptical because you can only buy money svarim with maisa money if you're going to open it up to the public. You can say, anyone come and use my safe.
That's why you have to put a sticker in the book that said it was bought.
Correct. Right, because then the point is you're leaving, meaning if I have a private, oitzer in my house, I have a private room with all my svarim, I'm not exactly letting the public come in, then I can't, but if I give it to shul, or I give it to a base marriage, then you could use my money, 100%. But if I'm going to buy a safer, keep it in my drawer, you know, with a lock and key, and I use my money just for me, that's very question.
The fear for the son does stop
at some point. We'll get to Blin Ezra. When we get to Daf Lamed, we'll have to see that the chiv that you really have to teach your son really stops probably around fifth grade. There's no chiv for a father to teach his son Gemara. You only have to teach him Chumash. So I think around fourth, fifth grade, they stop learning Chumash and they learn Gemara all day long. So then the chiv stops. So we'll have to get to that Blin Ezra when we get to Daf Lamed.
How do you know the chiv is only on top?
So Gemara. The Gemara is going to tell us in Daf Lamed.
Good.
We'll see. Where Moshe talks about that in the Dibras Moshe. Hopefully we'll get to all these Nekudas over here. So this is our Gemara. This is a very important Gemara. What's the takeaway from this Gemara? So we have three things. You're not Mechoyiv. A mother's not Mechoyiv. Let's say Nebuch, you have a case where the father's missing and the mother's the only one left. The mother has absolutely no, she could, but she has no mitzvah to give her son a Jewish education, to teach him Torah.
She
should be able to use Maisa money, right? She'd be able to use Maisa money.
Kind of doesn't
except that she has no obligation to use Maisa.
Not necessarily.
Why? She makes her own money.
She makes her own money, yeah. Husband's gone, she should take off Maisa, yeah. Well, my wife takes off a lot of Maisa.
Would Beis Din have the obligation?
Oh, very good. Every time
how
we go...
How could you have a Kamash Malon where this kid doesn't get educated?
So every Gemara that we had so far... very good. So every time we had a Gemara, we go through the same question. So we had three Gemaras so far. Bris, Pidgin Aben, Talmud Torah. Bris, what did the Gemara say? Beis Din HaZechiv. Pidgin Aben, the Gemara said nothing. Shita L'Rei Dalmi says there is none. So what does that leave us here? There is no Gemara. The Gemara ends here. So clearly the Gemara says there is no chiv on Beis Din. Shaila is why. So we'll have to get that also.
Afford the tuition.
Could be. It might have to do with money.
But there's also the
we'll get to
the
it. Risk. But it's a good deal. It's a good deal.
The case of the risk where it made sense that the wife had the chiv.
But then the Gemara says she doesn't either. Right?
But didn't we then get who was who said that it made sense that logically...
The way the Pnei Yeshua learned it is whenever it says in the Chumash, your son can mean the father or the mother, which is true here also. Good. But here it says B'neichem, here it says the word B'neichem. It says you should teach your sons, that includes your daughters.
Why should Talmud Torah be any different than Pidgin Aben? Pidgin Aben, we say we don't make Bezdin Mechuyif to do something with money, so Talmud Torah is also.
So there is an element of Talmud Torah, B'chinam also.
The Gemara says later on,
first of all, right, Pidgin Aben has to cost money. Torah doesn't have to cost money. People do it for free. There's a whole beautiful organization that deals with kids that are Nebuch HaYisayimim. They learn with that. It's not very nice. But the truth is, we're going to learn a Gemara together. But the Gemara Daf Lamed says that every person has a chiv to teach his friend's son Torah. You have a chiv to teach the neighbor down the block Torah, but bechinam. You don't have to pay for that. Your son, you got to pay for. The neighbor's kid, you don't have to pay for. Did we discuss it online? I remember if we discussed the grandparent obligation.
We did that when we did honoring your grandparents.
There's a big discussion that really needs to be had that every tuition board's dream is to say that they can argue that they can really collect halachically from the grandparents.
Right.
Tuition money. Which is a... Again, if you're dealing with tuition, if you're a kid like me who has kids in school, I think it's great. Go straight to the grandparents. Leave me out of it. Go straight. Don't even send me the bill. Send it straight to them. But if you're a grandparent, you don't really want to start paying tuition again because you spent your whole life paying tuition. You don't want to do it again.
Rabbi Pendergrad spoke about that when he said that. He said, guys, don't worry.
It's a very serious halacha question, and it's an interesting sugya. So it should be online if anyone wants to listen to it. But it should come out from a Gemara that we're not there yet. Daf Lamed will come up when we get there. Okay. So the Pnei Yeshua over here, number 6, has a kasha, which should bother some of us. If you remember in the Kriya Shema, the pasuk of Limata Moisim Es Benechem appears in the second parasha of Kriya Shema. We have a first parasha of Kriya Shema. There it says, Vishinantam Levanecha. You should teach your sons. So why did the Gemara learn from that pasuk? Why did the Gemara wait to the second parasha of Kriya Shema and not jump from the first parasha of Kriya Shema, Vishinantam Levanecha? So what's the answer for anyone who does Ma'aseh Sedra?
Well, it's first.
No. Limata is second. Vishinantam is first.
But that's not talking about Torah.
Shinatam Levanecha is
talking about
what? That's Kabbalah. No, it's talking about Torah. What does Rashi say in the Chumash?
It should be sharp in your
mouth. Yeah. And who's Levanecha? Huh? Shinatam is Mechadidim. But Dr. Rashi on the Chumash, Levanecha Elul Talmidim. Rashi says that pasuk doesn't mean biological children. That pasuk means students. So therefore says the Pnei Yeshua, number 6. Ha d'loy ma'isi mikra di shinantam l'vanecha. Frank the Pnei Yeshua, why did you wait to the second parasha of Kriya Shema, where it says the word v'lumata ma'isim es b'nechem, and not learn from the first parasha of Kriya Shema, where it says v'shinantam l'vanecha? Says the Pnei Yeshua, nirim shum d'hosam lav b'banim mamishayvi. That passage is not talking about biological children, elo b'talmidim. It's talking about students. Like Rashi says explicitly on his comment to the Chumash, shatamidim kurim banav v'mloshan ad sifra. Now the truth is, the Velt has a kasha. Who told Rashi that it's talking about not Talmidim? That's talking about Talmidim.
Would it be also Talmidim? What?
So if you look at Rashi, Rashi just says Talmidim.
And what's the
lashon of the Shinanta? What is the Shinanta versus the Limadatim? So says the Pnei Yeshua, says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not just that Rashi says it. The Pasuk itself lends it to mean that. Why? Miloshon de Shinantem. Darshinam b'shmaitin shidivrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha. The Gemara says the Lashon v'shinantem means that the Torah should be sharp on your mouth, which means that if someone asks you a question, you respond right away. V'zeh lo shaykh el talmidim. That's not a parent's obligation for the son. That's a Rebbe's job. Di b'chia va'av al ben lo shaykh to maskinim b'somach dein chayiv lom deli mishnei legmar el mikro l'chud. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that person couldn't have been talking about biological children because fathers don't have that type of mitzvah for their biological children. Because Lashon v'shinantem is a much deeper level of education.
But wouldn't it have made sense to reverse the order of the psukim though? Why would that come before the Lamadatem?
So this is a very famous yisoy that Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Rabbi Moshe Walter has a very long share about this on why you told Kedai to take a listen to it, where he points out that the first two parashas of Kriya Shema are talking to two different groups of people. Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Barichos, the first parashah of Kriya Shema is talking to the Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai people who can learn Torah a whole day long and don't have to worry about parnasa. The second parashah of Kriya Shema is talking about regular folk like us who need to work to have food. And that's why the Torah says Vishinantal of Anecho, what type of guys we're talking about. We're not talking about regular folk. Regular folk, they're Vishinantim. They're going to be sharp and they're going to know everything by heart. The rest of us are just going to be Lumadatim. The regular folk are going to be just what we need to know to live, to be good from yit. And the first parashah of Kriya Shema is talking to a very unique group of people, while the second parashah of Kriya Shema.
Why flip that off?
Rebbe Chaim Volozhiner talks about why we start with them first.
When the Torah wrote that, The
Torah anticipated there was going to be a group of, I don't like to use a elitist or very, very successful people that could do that lifestyle. The Gemara says in Brachas is not for all of us, and I'm not trying, but the Gemara says there is a group of people that could be like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's the first part of
Kishma.
Because
Moshe is talking to the people
now. This is Rav Chaim Volozhiner as a Chiddush.
It's our halacha also. It's for everybody, not just
for right. Shabbat. We should. So again, we'll see when we get to the Gemara Daf Lama. We'll see how exactly to fulfill this Gemara.
Rabbi, I don't understand the whole kasha. You're asking a kasha from An Rashi Vishinanta Levanecha because
I'm asking
Rashi
the Gemara.
No, but I'm saying when the Gemara said, "Let's learn out Vishinanta," you can't because it means that it has to be sharp in your.
No, my question. I have two questions. The Pnei Yeshua's kasha was why did the Gemara jump to a pasuk that's in the second parasha, not from the first parasha?
Right.
And he answered based on Rashi. So the question was, who told Rashi? Yes. The answer is Rashi source from the word Vishinantam. The word Vishinantam is not Vilimatam. Vishinantam is a much deeper level of education, which is not expected of a parent or his child. It's expected of a Rebbe to a Talmud. That's the answer.
But how do you know? Maybe talking about this. In the original system, there were no yeshivas.
The Gemara says.
People learned from it. No, but people.
But the Gemara says. The Gemara says you don't.
2,000 years.
That's what I'm
saying. No, but the Gemara says you don't have to do that. The Gemara says no. The father just teaches him.
Okay, but why?
No, he's saying the same thing.
We'll get to it. Okay. Okay, I hate to stop short, but I do have to run to a Levaya, and many of you maybe also have to go. Joel Mel's mother passed away, so I have to try to get there.
Joel Mel's mother.
Yeah, he was at the Shir Tuesday night with his brother, so his mother passed away, so I'm going to try to get to the Levaya, but we'll just do one more Nikud, and then we'll have to stop and run out.
The Rambam says, I'm just reading it here, that even your Talmidim, in other words, it includes your children.
Yeah, but look, what does Rashi say?
Well, No, Rashi says, but the Rambam on that Rashi, I'm just reading the article there. It says, no, to your children is first even to one student, since the Torah considers students to be like children.
Okay.
And that's even according to the Rambam. Rambam helped us found the Torah.
Okay. I don't know. We'll have to see. Again, at least the way Rashi and Chumash, the way the Pnei Yeshua is clearly understanding it, that there's a totally different mitzvah. And we'll learn more about this. There's a mitzvah for Rebbe versus two. Now, there's a Stamazia question over here in the Gemara. Basic pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara said, I compare teaching to learning, learning to teaching. How do you make that comparison? One pasuk in the Chumash was teach, one pasuk in the Chumash was learn. What gives you the rights to bounce one off the other? So some Rishonim learn, and maybe we won't read this inside just to save time, but some Rishonim learn that it's logical. Because if I'm not mechuyev, if no one's mechuyev to teach me, I'm sorry, the other way around. If I'm not mechuyev to learn, how could I teach someone else?
Well, because you hire somebody to teach.
How could I have a chuyev to teach someone else if I don't have a chuyev to teach myself? You can only teach that you know. A famous Lubavitcher Rebbe, said, everyone's a Rebbe. Everything you know, teach someone else. But if I don't have a mitzvah to learn and get knowledge, so why would I have a mitzvah to teach others? So many Rishonim learn that the mitzvah, the reason why these two mitzvahs bounce off each other is strictly logical. Because if the Torah said, Tatla, you don't have to learn any Torah. But yet, you have to teach Yanim Torah. Doesn't make any sense. It's a crazy mitzvah. So therefore, many Rishonim learn that the reason why these two mitzvahs bounce off each other is strictly logical. He who has a mitzvah to learn has a mitzvah to teach. You can't have a mitzvah to teach if you yourself don't have a mitzvah to learn. But let's...
two mitzvahs are Vilimadatem and Vishnantam?
No, Vilimadatem, Ulamadatem. Tupsukim. Now let's just start the trouble over here, so to say, with number 11. When does the son have a mitzvah to teach himself if father's missing? My dad Nebuch is dead, dad's not from, dad's in jail, whatever the case is. So now the son has a mitzvah to teach himself Torah. What age? So what would most of us guess?
Well, it certainly has to be different.
It has to be 13. Age. Right. Should be 13, right? Says the Sefer.
I would think maybe a little before because he's got another five-hour mitzvah.
Now we're getting lumdish over here. Says the Sefer Achinacha number 11, line 2. Umi yishalai limdo oisei avoisav. If someone's fathers didn't teach him, shehem chayavim zeh, those that are obligated to teach him, kagan aviv, vavi aviv, his father and grandfather, chayiv lelameir atzma, he must learn himself, kishihieh, gadol v'yakir b'dover. And he becomes a gadol, and he's yakir badover. He understands it.
So good.
He quotes a pasuk, ulimadtem vasisem oisam. Now, what's strange about the Sefer Achinach?
How are you supposed to know that?
Rabbi, someone tells him.
What age is Gadol? So it's Gadol 13. The question is, what does Yakir mean?
Do you ever find the other mitzvah? We say, well, a kid puts on tefillin when he's a Gadol and he's Yakir.
Right.
Here the Sefer Chinuch boxed himself into that word v'yakir. Now take a look in the Me'iri, number 12. Says the Me'iri, Ha'av chayiv laminis b'nai tari kimay shebi'arnu. Higdel ha'ben v'lo hishtadol ab b'limudoy, chayiv hu lishtadol ba'atzmoy. He's got to do it himself. When? Higdel ha'ben. What does that sound like? Comes about mitzvah. Then the last sheet of then, this we'll have to stop with, is the Rambam. Zok the Rambam, number 13. The chayiv liskor melamed lebenoy lelomdi. You have to hire someone to teach you some Torah. The eino chayiv lelamed ben chaveroi el bechinam. You don't have to spend money to hire someone to teach you the neighbor's kid Torah. Mi shalai lomdi aviv. If someone didn't teach the father, if father didn't teach him, chayiv lelmoid es atzma. He has to teach himself. Kishe yakir. When he recognizes, doesn't say a word about God. So obviously any good Baal Medayik in a Rambam would say that the Rambam argues on the Sefer HaChinuch, the Rambam argues on the Meir, and he says, no, you don't have to be a Gadol. All you got to be is Yakir.
No, maybe it's a given.
No, but I'm
what's the obvious kasha? Hey, chin matzonu, where do we ever find that a katan has a chiyuv to do something? So let's continue on in the Rambam, and we might answer our own question. V'chein atam moitzei, zok the Rambam over here, seems like a whole new discussion. We find in all places that Torah, learning goes before actions. Because learning allows you to do actions. But actions don't bring you to learning. What's the obvious kasha in this Rambam? What does the Rambam want with this? My Indian Shemitah Eitzel Hashin, as they say. What does this have to do with anything? What's built the Rambam?
So maybe he's saying that the chiyuv of the maisa doesn't start until you're a gadol, but you have the learning when you're able to. It's like a hachana.
Very good. Very good. Mamash B'chavin, Tzeb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky says, you see from this Rambam, we'll read it inside next week, you see from this Rambam, this is the answer to our kasha. What was our kasha? How could you have a mitzvah before you bar mitzvah? We don't have any other mitzvah before you bar mitzvah. The answer is, this is a different type of mitzvah. This mitzvah is what? So you should know how to do the mitzvahs. You can't start at 13, okay, put on tefillin. How? What? I don't know how to do it. So mainly, the mitzvah Talmud Torah is all about knowing how to do mitzvahs. That taka starts earlier. And therefore, the beginning of the Rambam is a beautiful continuation.
But what? Hechsher mitzvah, to do
mitzvahs
is a mitzvah.
So, Dr. Biankiv, it's not a regular Hechsher mitzvah. It's gufa achelik from Talmud Torah, and this Belinet we'll have to talk much more about. We'll see, the Briscoes don't like this, sorry. Belinet, we'll get to this.
What is Mishiach? Is it 11? Is it 12?
Every kid's going to be on his own, whatever.